Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Kelly Grant, the Grant Master.
Cindy Burgess Gerson, what an amazing person.
Just saying. Okay.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Jason Andrews, the king of the upside-down Twitter pick. And Christy Dougherty, the OG Prime Supreme.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what.
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender podcast, and joining me, as usual, is the wonderful and hilarious Ronnie Karam from trashtalktv.com and the Rose Brooks Bachelor podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Ben.
How are you doing today?
So good. A little late start on a Monday.
Yeah. Well, we're getting a little late start because we did a little podcast sesh over with Brandy Glanville over at Podcast One, and so that was fun. We went over to Beverly Hills for that.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was very unfiltered, you guys.
It was unfiltered with Brandy Glanville. I think that episode's coming up on either, it's gonna be posted either this Friday or next Friday.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows? But we just gabbed about Bravo stuff and the random other junk. Insects,
yeah, 24. Roaches, rats, possums, you know, typical Watch What Crappens discussion.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a fun time.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So fun that Ronnie was left speechless.
I thought you were going to continue talking, so I pressed mute to drink a Diet Coke and lean back. I was like, okay, Ben, you go. Mute.
No, I'm a man of few words. I had nothing else to say beyond that, except it was a fun time, and everyone should listen when that comes out.
Well, Ben's got a little coldy cold.
Yeah, I did a lot of traveling. I went to Austin, and then I went to Oakland, and now I'm back in Los Angeles, and I have a souvenir of a head cold that came with me.
He was texting last night, like, I think I got this from the Shaws.
Yeah.
And if anyone can pass germs through the TV, it's that cast.
Oh, my goodness. Seriously. I was sitting there last night watching this show. You know, dead. You know, because you know how the first day of a cold is, you know, where you have a fever or like half fever, and you just feel like shit. And for some reason, you feel like you're not allowed to say you feel like you feel like shit, because to say that you have a cold almost sounds like a little nothing. Like, oh, it's a cold. It's a cold. Well, guess what? I'm sick. I'm sick, people. And I was watching it, watching the Shaws, and I was like, I don't know if I can watch this in my state right now. This may be too much for me.
Well, you have the perfect start to a Shervin voice with your cold.
Yeah, Shervin. Before we start recapping Shaws, we should let everyone know that tickets continue to dwindle away for San Francisco. The VIP tickets are now officially gone. They are officially sold out. There are still some regular tickets available, but they appear to be selling about 10 to 15 a day. So I think there's probably only about 40 or 50 left. So if you want to see us in San Francisco at Social Hall San Francisco on November 4th, you should buy your tickets now, because when the time comes, there will be no other tickets.
And we are going to have so much fun.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun at all of our live shows, so you don't want to miss out on our Bay Area show. So if you live in the Bay Area, go get yourself a ticket, huh? Go to watchwhatcrappens.com and find... So go to watchgrabbits.com.
I'm going to drive up to the Sunset Hills and overlook, so I can break up with you guys on FaceTime if you don't order those tickets right away.
That's like, right. Yeah, I'm just a mess. I'm running away from myself. I'm trying to buy myself tickets, but I just keep running away from myself.
Hey, I'm going to put it on the back of a milk carton. Where's me? Have you seen me? I'm missing.
Where's Sherv? He needs to get to a concert, but he's running away from himself.
Sherv's on a hill. On a hill on FaceTime. Does anybody even notice?
I don't think anyone notices where Sherv is. He's swerving on Mulholland to get away from himself.
You're Mike! You're Sherving like swerving, Mike!
Like, you need to at least come up with a fresh rhyme.
Yeah. The rest isn't even trying anymore. So let's dive into this ridiculous episode, shall we?
Yes, let's please dig in. Just so you know, a watch from MJ is symbolic of time. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, MJ.
Yeah. It's both symbolic and it's... Yes, I like that she gives something that's figurative and literal.
I've always got time for you. So we open back in New York City, ladies and gentlemen, and it's time to go ice skating.
And we know, I'm the one who's sipping. Like, no, I'm the one drinking something.
Yeah, it's time to go ice skating, and we know because Gigi's like, are we really going ice skating? Like, yes. And thank you for giving us the direction so we know what's going on.
Yeah.
The biggest shock here is that MJ used to figure skate as a 6-year-old.
Yeah, this is surprising. MJ, she figure skated as a hobby on the side, which I don't think you can do that as a hobby in Los Angeles.
Well, just so we know, it wasn't her profession at 6 years old. Just so she doesn't give us all the wrong idea. I mean, Tommy, of course, is like, she's Dorothy Hamill, bro!
Yeah. It's that time Dorothy Hamill was dragged down into this mess.
Yeah, Dorothy Hamill's really escaped a lot of public scrutiny lately.
Yeah. Made me cough.
Yeah, we're all those Dorothy Hamill disses that we all missed.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like from the 80s. Nice Cheerio box, brah.
Yeah.
Or not Cheerio. I don't even remember the name. Mary Lou Wheaties.
Redden. Well, Mary Lou Redden was on the Wheaties. Wheaties, I mean, Dorothy Hamill could have been there, too. I mean, we don't know. I think Dorothy Hamill was slightly before her time. Wasn't she more of 70s?
Yeah, I just remember as a kid, like, Wheaties boxes, and there were always people who were winning medals, and they would be like, look, I just won something, and I was like, I want no place, I want nothing to do with this thin cereal.
Yeah, I think we were raised in the heyday of ice skating, which is, of course, Nancy Kerrigan and Tanya Harding, and Oksana Bayul, and then Christy Yamaguchi, and, of course, those Canadian figure skaters who were robbed of a medal because of some sort of nefarious thing going on with a Russian judge. But that was more like around 2002.
Well, I think every ice skating person in our time has been robbed because all we can really think of is Nancy Kerrigan and Tanya Harding because, you know, hired people to beat her in the knee. Yeah. And then everyone was like, oh, but we love Nancy Kerrigan now. And then Nancy Kerrigan got caught mouthing something bitchy about a fan on a float at Disneyland or something. Yeah. What was that?
I all I have to say is that once in a while... It does us good to look back on the Nancy Kerrigan, Tanya Harding scandal and think back on how exceptionally wonderful that scandal was. Has there ever been a more amazing scandal that it took place in the world of figure skating and it climaxed at the Olympics with the entire globe watching? I mean,
That was pretty good. I'm still rooting for Tanya Harding. I think she had a good, and Jeff Galooly.
Jeff Galooly. Yeah. Everyone
loved his name.
Yeah. Jeff Galooly was her guy. I think he's the one who hit Nancy Kerrigan with the thing, right?
Yeah, I think that was like the boyfriend of, oh my god, who cares? So Reza is like, oh, we're going ice skating. Let's call Asa in the car.
Yeah.
Hey, babe.
Hey, babe.
Hey, babe.
Hey, babe.
I'm pregnant, babe.
Yeah.
I know, babe.
Yeah. So he's like, hey, so we're thinking about having a winter Wonderland snowflake ball to celebrate family. It's like, what? What is this this party? It's like, it's to celebrate family and also crackers and cookies.
Wintertime Orbit scum.
Ballpoint pens.
Water filters.
Loose change.
Cranberry juice.
Oversized pillows.
New brooches that aren't shaped like octopies.
Those plastic things that they put in your collar when you buy a new button-down shirt.
Did I already say winter?
So she's like, babe, I have no energy, babe. Like, I'm hanging out with Braxton.
Braxton?
Braxton Hicks, babe. Those contractions. I'm like, babe, Braxton, babe, Braxton Hicks, babe.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's basically like, oh, I'm tired. I can't do it. And you know that the editors are just trolling Asa, as if it weren't already evident all season long, but they finding any possible way to troll her. And that at one point, they put in the captions, they put in brackets that go, long sigh. Because you hear Asa go,
sorry, babe, that was the baby, babe.
I have babe, a I'm sighing for two.
You okay? Yeah, it was both of us. Reza, oh, wait, here's my question. Who is Braxton Hicks? And why were contractions named after him or her?
Yeah, well, I'm going to guess that Braxton Hicks is probably two different people, because you know how it's like Watson and Crick, you know? It's always duos. Here, I'm going to look it up. Braxton like, Hicks, contraction. Well, I'll just look up Braxton Hicks. We're going to find out if it's one or two people.
Taylor Hicks. Why doesn't Taylor Hicks have his own contractions?
Who is Braxton Hicks? I want to know.
I don't know.
I want to know. Everyone just keeps talking about the... I want to say who is. Who is, or is it who are? That's what I want to know.
Uh-oh. That's Braxton some Shaw's Hicks. English right there.
Okay. Here we go. All right. Are you ready for this knowledge?
I'm ready. Okay.
Braxton Hicks contractions. Hello. This is Ramona Singer here with some baby information. Okay. Braxton Hicks contractions are named after the English doctor who first described them in 1872. John Braxton Hicks investigated the later stages of pregnancy and noted that many women felt contractions without being near birth. Okay?
Okay. Braxton Hicks, okay. Guys, look at these carriages.
Whoa, that's so Persian. Carriages, ice skating, ice.
Reza is the most excited narrator I've ever seen. I don't know what's happened to Reza, but it's every scene this season. He's like, look, a buffet. It's a street.
Now, little toy guns made for three-year-olds.
So Reza's still using his lame ass storyline, trying to get Asa. He's trying to turn everyone against, but it's still not holding any water for me. He's like, I know why Asa doesn't want to come. It has nothing to do with Braxton Hicks. She doesn't want to answer MJ and Mike's questions, and they're not in a place to take the dodging. I'm like, she's also like 100 months pregnant. Okay?
Yeah, she doesn't want to deal with MJ and Mike. They are toxic people.
Mike and MJ's questions, what everybody's so worried about.
Yeah.
Mike and MJ's opinion.
Exactly. So they all get out on the ice. MJ looked sort of like the Penguin in Batman Returns, which I thought was funny. And then when Reza's skating around, he said, I couldn't tell if it sounded like he was taking a shit or crying. He was like, That's so icy Persian. Ice is like white people. Like, we don't have ice in Iran. What we have instead, we have hummus. Okay, like, this is white people shit right here.
Hey, MJ, Maris. We didn't talk. I think something slipped over your head at dinner. Mike might still be in love with Jessica.
Like, yeah, actually, that was MJ telling that to Gigi. MJ's like, we have to talk. I think you didn't notice that Mike's still in love with Jessica. It's like, well, yeah, of course, because he wasn't the one who like said, let's end it. He was the one who cheated on her and she left him.
Yeah, let's break him up, get him back together. Break him up, get him back together.
Yeah.
And then Adam's like, he just wants what he can't have. Like, just sparkly gray eyelids. He's going to force them.
I think Adam's probably right, too. I think Mike is the classic person of someone who wants what he cannot have. For instance, sage advice about anything.
Hair that doesn't have coins bounce off of it. It just comes out like that.
Yeah. So we then go over to Venice, California, where Asa is... She's in a car with her mom, and she has leg cramps, and she's like, babe, getting in out of cars is like misery. It's like, why can't my legs and my body get along? Just like, you know, the rabbi and the priest and the Muslim guy in Israel. Babe, what's wrong with my legs?
Yeah, why can't we be like my documentary, babe, instead of Reza's Cry documentary? Getting out of cars is like Reza's Cry documentary with plastic guns.
I want Getting Out of Cars to be more like my documentary, which is about me saying hello to my son and being like, look, people in Israel.
Someone pointed out during that episode that everything was out of focus. They're like, really nice documentary, Asa. So Asa's like, mom, babe, mom, you want to see what our babe boy mom is up to? We're going to go to a room where we're going to see our little baby, mom, babe.
Yeah, so they go up to the doctor, and the doctor is just telling Asa to rest, of course. And Asa's like, you know, babe, like, Dr. Babe, like, one thing that we've discovered is that, like, my friend environment, like, hasn't been the most loving. And so the doctor's like, well, then you shouldn't hang out with your friends. And Asa's like, see, even my doctor doesn't want to be around it. I'm like, no, your doctor didn't say anything about her not wanting to be around it. She just said that you shouldn't be around it.
My doctor just babe diagnosed the emotional toxicity of my babe friends, babe. She's like, I don't care. Your baby's alive. It's got a giant penis, though. And Asa's like, yeah, it's so big, babe. Like, I'm big into genetics, okay? And this, like, goes back to the ancestors of the genes. Yeah. Like, he's got so much genetics, my baby. Like, he's me, but he's also a Jackson. Like, he's a dancer.
Yeah, she's like, it's like it goes all the way back to your first ancestors. So my son, who's Bix, is going to have so much genetic input. I'm like, he's going to have as much genetic input as anyone else.
He's going to have freezer burn. She's like, freezer it's a burn. Jackson. The baby's like giving sign language, asking for Roxy. Oh, Asa, babe. So even the mom's kind of sick of it. She's like, she worked too much. Can we please go home? So back at the place in New York.
Rest yeah, is like, this concierge got his takeout again. Persians love food, and this concierge knows it.
Nice trip to New York, you guys, just eating takeout. But thank you to that concierge for keeping you away from the general public.
Well, she also, it's funny because Reza's like, we have like a ninja concierge. She just comes in and gets takeout. I'm like, yeah, because she knows the moment you guys walk through that door, she wants to be out of there. She doesn't want to be around for any of this mess. She's like, here, I'll get them a bunch of like takeout meals, and hopefully that'll keep them occupied for the next 2 hours.
What every ninja is known for, a Grubhub account. She's like a total ninja. And then I love that he's like, what is this, lamb? I don't like do lamb, okay? It has red things in it. Mike says, it's Turkish. Like, eat it's your Turkish fucking bro. Lamb.
Bro, you gotta be open to it. You know, if you want a dominant man, you're gonna get some dominant lamb, bro. That's what I say. Is your lamb ego your amigo? I don't think so.
I don't even know how to make any rhyme stupider than the regular mic rhyme, so I'm just going to drop out of that one.
Well, then they're all talking about how crazy it is that Gigi got engaged, especially because they like have only known each other for 12 weeks. But
Mike,
I don't know.
You need at least 8 months to figure that person out. Like, are they going to become Jewish or not? Like, until they've had their head dunked in the Malibu water by a rabbi, then like, no.
They have to know, like, if they're going to survive after the first time he cheats on her, you know? Because that's what we do.
Yeah, I love Mike's rules. Yeah. Mike cheated a million times, and he's like, it's too soon. Okay, Mike, thanks.
So upstairs, Gigi and Shalom are on FaceTime with Shervin, and they're like, hey, Shervin, how's it going? He's like, it's all right, you know, I'm just going to have to, like, go to a Raji's bar to shoot with Destiny, which isn't, like, too cool, but look, I got a laptop because I work from home, you know?
Gigi's like, I wish you were here. Really, really, really. Look at my ring. Oh, look at my ring. Didn't you just try and ruin this guy's life like 2 weeks ago? Let him breathe.
Yeah. He's like, whoa, Gigi. That's amazing, Gigi. Oh, okay. Well, have a good time. Bye. I'm done for this episode.
So the next day, Mike is in a towel feeling his tits. Yeah. Just like touching his nipples awkwardly. Still with a full face of makeup. I mean, this guy is like a real housewife coming out of the shower with gray glitter eyeshadow and full-on brow makeup. I know I can't let it go, but I can't let it go. Yeah. Sorry.
He's got some Latisse going on or something like that. But MJ's like, I want to turn up tonight. And Rez is like, girl, you haven't even turned down. Like, this is why we're not in a hotel, because in a hotel there's a turn down service, and you can't even turn down, girl. MJ be swerving, Mike be swerving, swerving be curving, now I'm flirving.
Look at the carriages!
It's carriages! Breakfast be swerving, Ninja Concierge be serving, the swerving breakfast!
Mike is giving me the silent treatment because he doesn't want to admit he went out last night swerving. He took a page out of Shervin's book. Mikey's been swerve psyching.
Swerve psyching. Mikey's been fikey, which is another word of saying swerving.
Swerving is hard. You've got to lead this room past the ninja concierge. Stop yourself from eating possible lamb with red things in it. Drive across the town, then get back, then go up the subway stairs and back down them.
Yo, it's like so icy out. This entire city be swerving in the streets, yo. Chinese food.
Then the editors throw in this shady clip, and I'm not really even sure why they did this, but since they're hating on MJ's dirty feet every episode this season, they're like, here's a close-up of MJ throwing dirty socks into a corner.
You gotta let those feet breathe and collect dust.
So let's see. He's like, those are sexy underwear. Who wears underwear like that unless you want to swerve in?
The reason why Reza liked that underwear was because it looked like chevron pattern. It wasn't. It was like diamond. It was sort of chevron-esque. The point is, it was highly patterned. He's like, whoa, you made boxers out of my walls.
Smell it, Gigi. Smell deep into the crotch. And Mike's like, yeah, Gigi, smell the ball area. And she does like a nice breathe deep, and they're all laughing.
Yeah. And they're like, so, Mike, did you hang out with Jessica while you were in New York? Because she's in New York, too. I don't even know if it was Reza who asked the question. I'm just going to ask it in Reza voice.
That's like a walk of shame, huh?
So, Gigi's pretty clever because she had been on Mike's Instagram and she was looking at pictures of his new dog. And then she noticed all the way, like so small in the corner, was this reflection of Jessica. This was like some Michael Crichton shit, you know, that where it's like, oh, it turns out that the person in Rising Sun who like ruined everything for everyone, he like changed his footage on the security footage. And Gigi found out as Jessica.
Gigi is like the worst detective for a series ever.
Yeah.
Like S is for duh-duh. It's like S is for duh. M is for Jessica. It's like that doesn't even make any sense, okay? And she's, yeah, they're closing in on it, doing all these close-ups. Like, thank God she got that speaker in her ear. She's like, finally, I can hear now. Look, it's Jessica.
Yeah, exactly. So now they're convinced that Mike and Jessica are rekindling something. So, they're exes. Of course, they're probably banging on the side.
And who cares?
And who cares, honestly? Who cares?
So, also, things not to care about. MJ getting ready. She's like, this trip is so different because, like, New York is, like, coming home now. Last time, I was in my head, and now it's in my heart. Did you not see the ninja concierge food? Please, FF. FF. So he's like, Maris, can I speak with you for a moment? Shut door. We never discussed that Mike admitted he's basically still in love with Jessica.
I'm like, oh my God, please stop already. Please stop trying to so blatantly stir shit up, you two.
And Gigi comes in and she's like, yeah, they're worried about what people will say. And he's like, yes, embarrassed, like, by the community. Like, mostly it's the mom because she's the matriarch. Like, some nice white lady would say, okay, but Persians are tribal and Jess has lots to do to get the chief on her side. Like, what did she do? She got cheated on.
Yeah, exactly. Although she's pretty obnoxious in her own way too, to be fair.
Yeah.
She wasn't, agreed. I mean, like, she wasn't just like some, you know, some paragon of lovely feminine ideals or whatever. I can't speak English today, okay? I have a head cold. I'm sorry.
Remember when Jessica told Mike to put his phone down during meals? Oh my God, what a bitch.
She had like in the tabloid, she went kind of bonkers after that divorce. She was just being crazy and I don't know. I don't think Jessica is so great either, to be honest. But I mean, Mike should not have cheated on her though. She doesn't deserve to be cheated on, but she's no great shakes either, as they say.
Yeah, this was one of those shows where it's like, who can you even stand up for? Like,
nothing. Who cares? The concierge is all like that. that sweet little, you know, girl who once watched Daria as a tween.
She's at home.
VIP concierge.
She's at home watching this, cutting herself with her ninja star. Like, they didn't even get my lamb. Like, that took effort. Okay. What do they do not? What don't they understand about Paprika? These idiots making me look like a fool.
She's just probably upset because she got fired after that, because it was probably the production's lunch that they came in and ate. Oh, look, they put out all this food for us. Okay, we'll take it.
She's like, I'm the. These are the first guests I couldn't get the stains off the couch from. I lost my job.
The producer's like, Janice, could we speak to you for a moment? You're no longer needed.
Off to Queens!
Yay!
And MJ's like, I'm amazing in snow. You're wearing a miniskirt.
Yeah.
So the music is like, ba-da, 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 ba-da. I don't really know why.
Yeah.
But I just love Tommy, and I'm so excited we get to meet his family.
Yeah.
He's like, that's my brother from another mother. We're like related by not being related, you know?
Yeah, I was like, this is Michael, and that's Anthony, and that's Sean McGuire, and that's Richie McGuire, and that's Mary Ann McGuire, that's Anthony too, and that's Anthony, not to be mixed up with Anthony, and that's Bobby and Jimmy and Josie and Jimmy again and Anthony and Michael. They're all brothers. I'm just gonna pass out for a moment. Okay. Use up a lot of oxygen doing that.
That was a lot with the cold.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot to watch and a lot to then regurgitate.
So they're driving and Mike's like, look at that spray paint. It's like a street artist. Riz is like, that's graffiti. Carriages. And so Riz is like, oh, look, there's hot dogs and lasagnas.
At the
and
strip
Tommy's
club.
Like, yeah, that's really where you want to get your hot dogs and lasagnas at Sugar Daddy's. Huh?
Riz was like halfway out the door before he realized that Tommy was joking. He's like, oh, sorry. So there's also like a little scene of Gigi and Shalom back at the townhouse, because he's like, oh, I can do a really good Shalom impersonation today because my nose is stuffed. So I gotta go back to LA. I can't be here for the show, Gigi. She's like, okay.
You won't see the play? Okay, love you. I understand it's gonna make him uncomfortable. I wish he would get over it, but you know, it's acting, and one day he'll be able to support me.
Yeah. So then, but we also knew that he was going to come to the show because it was in the previews of him in the audience. So this, we all knew this was just a big nothing. So then the rest of the gang arrives at Bridie's, in Queens. And Reza's like, Queens, what's up, Queens? Hello, Queens.
This is so Persian. So the parents, so then we start getting Tommy's background, how this is the family that took him when his family passed away or whatever.
Yeah.
And MJ and Tommy are talking to this lady with the baby, and Tommy's rubbing the head, and she's like, he has a heavy hand, just teach him to be gentle with the baby. And some guy's like, you gotta have one. That's the only way to learn, you gotta have one. And it's so cute that they've found a family willing to, you know, goad MJ into naturally having a baby.
Yeah.
Like, it's nice. Totally possible.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, Rez is in the corner being like, what's the Queen's drink? Okay, I'd like to order a shrimp basket, a chicken teriyaki dumplings, bacon stuffed potatoes, mozzarella sticks, French toast bites, crab cakes, deep fried crab cakes, sweet potato fries, parmesan fries, truffle fries, also some more wings, and some mozzarella wings, and some boneless wings. Thank you.
And a Diet Coke, please.
Oh, and sliders.
So MJ basically is bonding with all the friends. Like, you a tit and an ass guy.
Yeah.
I'm an ass guy. He's like, yeah, it's a Queens thing. No apologies, bro. Like, well, congratulations. You've got both.
Yeah, exactly. And then Reza's like, there's some girl named Kim who's at the bar with like a giant glass of wine. And Reza's like, are you swimming in it or are you drinking it? Ha, 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 ha. And Mike's like, just checking her out. Because she's like, yeah, I'm surprised that's big. It's such a big glass right now. What's going on, Mikey Poo, huh?
Like, are you married? Because I hear you're married to a man with a very big penis, but mine's bigger. Just bring in the glass. So Reza has like 20 plates of food around. And then there's a gay sibling who's over there, and Adam's like, are you gay? Oh my god, what was that like? And he's like, I fainted when I came out because my family is such bitches.
I love the little Irish gay. Yeah. He's like just all the brothers, but you know, with gay boys.
Yeah, exactly. And then at one point MJ climbs onto the bar with Tommy to give a little talk about family and being accepted and how wonderful Tommy is and all these people here that just came into the bar, and she's like, I just want everyone to know that. And then Reza goes, my nipples are hard. Everyone's like, well, ah.
Oh, this crew. So let's see. Nothing matters more than family. The day I came to Howard Beach was the day I made connection with Howard Beach. You guys are my family. Tommy's family is like a bowl of ice cream with a brownie on the bottom and whipped cream on top and nuts in the middle, milk on the side, a slider to dip into them, a side of ketchup, possibly mustard. Why not put mayonnaise on there?
Okay, stop. Just everybody stop. I'm going to have a heart attack just watching this goddamn episode.
I know. And then Tommy makes a toast, and it just ultimately just winds up the entire bar going, family, 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 family.
Carriages, carriages. Tommy's like,
concierge.
Ninja concierge.
A friend is someone you call by name of a phone. You write them by letter, or when you're alone. When you're alone, it feels like home. Throw me a bone, and don't eat a scone.
Like, all right, wrap it up. Just wrap it up.
Beans are good for the heart. The more you eat, the more you're fat. The more you're fat, the better you feel. So eat beans at every meal with your family.
So Rez is like, are you coming to the play? And MJ stays in Queens. So in L.A., Shervin is arriving at organic raw kin juice.
Yes.
Yeah, there's so much raw wrong with juice. That.
Yeah. So Destiny with her mom and her family. Well, it's actually her mom and her sister, because Destiny has invested in a juice bar. And you can see how little the editors care for Destiny, because they decided to give her some sort of character. We got to learn a little bit about her only on the second to last episode of the season.
Yeah. Like, and this is why you're leaving. Like, little sides, little spinach balls or whatever she's trying to serve.
Exactly. Oh, and here's a little insight into Destiny's life, too, by the way. She has a juice bar.
You can take the girl out of the nightclub, but you can't take the nightclub out of... It's like, fast forward. Yeah. It's like, I wish I could have heard the end of that, because I was really fascinated. But, So Shervin comes, and he's like, oh, look, it's me, I'm being supportive. She's like, let's talk outside.
I was disgusted with you. That was disgusting. I wanted to barf on the floor.
Like, God, well, I just came to say hi at your relevant. I mean, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, he's basically like, well, you know, I think I've just been running away from myself because my parents, they split up when I was, you know, they after 35 years of marriage, they split up, and I sort of lost faith in everything, so I've decided that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to blame everything on my parents, and I'm running away from myself, but running away from my parents because my parents split up, and I don't know what I am. So if I said that, I was in a mixed up emotional state, and, you know, if I said that, I apologize. My bad.
I hurt my feelings. Like, my parents got divorced, and they never even told me they got divorced. They lied about it, and I was like, did you get divorced? They were like, no. And then I found out a long time later that they did, which is why I lie about stuff, but then pretend I didn't later, but then we're like, pretend I admitted it, which I didn't. But do I have to eat this? Please don't make me eat this.
I guess it's my way of saying I'd rather apologize and fess up to cheating on Annalise than drink more of your terrible juice. Thank you.
So reasons you know Shervin is not ready, and he's just still a lying player, because he says all the typical things.
Sorry, I'm not perfect.
That's one of them. And the other is, well, if there was a magic wand I could wave and go into a time machine and not lie to you, I would. But right now, there's nothing I could do but say I'm sorry.
So, my bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't have a time machine.
Yeah. He literally does. He goes, I wish I could say sorry, but all I can do is say sorry. So, my bad. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry that you don't understand me for not being perfect. Sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, great knowing you, Destiny. I'll see you next time on The Never Show.
Rockin' sushi, goddamn.
Captain Lee just shows up, be like, what's this goddamn rockin' juice? Why can't I get a regular juice?
Hey, guess what I don't want my sushi to be doing? Rockin'.
If this sushi's a rockin',
Don't go knacking.
So Asa is at the babe store.
Dressed like a pregnant detective. And because, so this is a cruel moment here, because she's like, babe, I'm going to find Carmen Sandiego, babe. But first, I'm going to buy some designer clothes, babe.
Hey, where in the babe is Carmen Babiego? Hey, Carmen, I'm pregnant.
Carmen Babiego. Babe, you know what's great about Carmen Babiego? Like, she goes everywhere. Like, she sees the world. She takes in all these cultures. She has, like, so much cultural input on her baby.
She's like the mystery of genes, babe. So, Jermaine still
that won't Carmen Babiego, I have to blow my nose now. I'm putting it on mute while I blow my nose so no one's grossed out. But I have to blow my nose now because you made a booger appear.
Well, speaking of people who have trouble blowing their nose, LaToya Jackson's here.
She's like, hello, dear.
This was
it's
so
me,
cruel.
LaToya.
This was so cruel. As I tweeted out last night, Janet Jackson was playing at the Hollywood Bowl last night. And that's, you know, the Hollywood Bowl from is like a walk, skip, step. And I can't do the phrases today. I'm sorry. You know, it's close. It's close by. It's a walk away. I can walk to the Hollywood Bowl, okay?
It's like 17 sliders away.
It's 17 sliders away. I could have walked, and I could have seen Janet Jackson. Unfortunately, I didn't realize Janet Jackson was going to be playing last night until I got stuck in the traffic for around the Hollywood Bowl. And on top of that, I was sick as a dog last night. And I just was sitting here thinking to myself, if things had been a little different in my life, I could be watching Janet Jackson instead of sitting here watching LaToya Jackson. It's just not right. This is where,
although,
what
I think,
we get.
I think we're winning.
Yeah, maybe.
In that regard.
Are we?
I think so.
How are we winning if we're the ones watching LaToya instead of Janet?
Because was Janet picking up horrible little clothes while also was being Carmen Sandiego saying
right.
things
she
like,
was only earning thousands
cute,
of dollars. Yeah, so Asa, this is one of the things that drives me nuts about Asa and lots of other people, I'm sure, which is that for all of Asa's talk about we're all human, I'm like a hippie artist, what yada, 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 she's at this store and every single, it was a baby store, and everything was like Prada, Versace, you know, Armani, all these like top designers, like designer baby clothes where everything costs, you know, like $400 for a stupid onesie.
Yeah, and they're like gold, you know, gold lame and shit. Let your baby decide he's going to be an asshole.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Let your baby decide he's going to be an asshole and express that through his words. Don't just dress your baby like an asshole. Like, give him a fighting chance, you know?
Exactly. There was a close-up on one of the price tags of the crib. $7,500 for that crib, okay? I don't know what cribs normally go for, but $7,500 seems to be too much. At that point, you might as well just get a cardboard box.
I would, too.
I'd be like, look, baby, you stay in the box.
Yeah, I would totally do that.
It's called put a pillow in a refrigerator box, okay?
When you're old enough to feed yourself and you can climb out of that box, you deserve to live, kid.
What you do is you order some gift basket from Harry and David's, you eat all the food, and then you put a blanket in there, and then the baby, and now you're set.
So Asa, I think even LaToya is sick of Asa, because yeah. Asa's like, whoa, babe, I need to take off my babe jacket, babe. My temperature's like crazy. And LaToya goes,
that's because of the pregnancy, yes?
Yeah, my doctor told me my babe needs a huge jockstrap, babe.
Babe needs a jockstrap. And then Asa says, Asa says, she goes, babe, like, the Jacksons are the most famous family in the world, and, like, I want to be part of that family.
Yeah, babe.
I'm like, well, I can't be mad at her for being up front, you know? She just wants to be part of the most famous family in the world. Unfortunately, I don't think the Jacksons are the most famous family in the world.
Like, literally, you can go to a village in Afghanistan, babe, and they all know the Jacksons. I know. I did a documentary there with a rabbi, a priest, a nun, and a dog, just for fun.
We all sat and listened to Thriller.
So then she tells us the meeting Jermaine story.
Well, she's like, but before we get into that, Asa talks about how People Magazine called her up to do a picture spread, with a whole family spread with Jermaine and the baby and Asa. And Jermaine just won't do it at all. And LaToya goes, well, yeah, the entire family is that way, and we like our privacy, says LaToya, who's on reality TV. This is why you're the black sheep, LaToya.
Says the Jacksons, who had their own reality show after, like, trying to sell a million other reality shows.
Yeah, says the Jacksons, who are famous.
Says the Jacksons who are on stage like every night.
Yeah, says the Jacksons Latoya's who are like, at the Hollywood Bowl.
People Magazine, let's just say I'm the dad.
Victoria's like in it. She's like, I'll sit in this crib. Meh, meh. Meh, 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 people.
We all look the same, so just, you know, like, shave my head. I'll be fine.
It doesn't matter if you're black or white. Did anybody hear that? Where's people? Where's
I'm
people?
Bad.
Hey,
Asa, do you remember the time when we fell in love? Do you have some jelly or some jam?
Oh, hey, who's that babe in the mirror?
Because I'm looking at her, babe.
So then Asa tells us about her meeting. Yeah, her big love story. She's like, I saw Jermaine in high school and our eyes locked. But then he didn't talk to me. But like, I knew I would be with him forever. And then like 10 years later, I was at the Apple Babe and I felt his presence. And then he came up to me with blueberries. And then we went to the beach in Malibu and we saw the moon. And then we passed a white fox on PCH. Everything was like an omen.
Well, to be fair, she said that when he walked up to her at the Apple store, this waterfall of gold diamond water came over me, which is hilarious because is it gold or is it diamond? I'm not sure. And then she goes, he came over with organic blueberries and we spent 18 hours listening to music. And so the key thing here is that this alone is ridiculous. But the editors were like, fuck it, we're going to have some fun. We've been stuck on this show for 6 years. We're going to go crazy. And they turned this entire story into a psychedelic montage of, like, crazy, you know, like, clip art.
Yeah.
The video version.
Blueberry kaleidoscope.
Because when she said that she was in the Apple store, they show the Apple logo, and they do, like, a kaleidoscope of Asa Kaftans in the background. And then they show, like, a waterfall. And then they had these blueberries falling onto the screen. And then the blueberries turned into a kaleidoscope.
Oh, isn't she trying to sell liquid gold or something because she lost her pregnancy weight in 8 days? People online are like, fuck you, bitch. Yeah. A, that picture is photoshopped. And B, like, this montage, she's just going to fit all of her products. She's like, liquid golden diamond water caftans fell over me.
It was amazing. It was actually one of the most amazing things that has ever happened on Shaw's The Sunset. And it came out of nowhere. We're just watching like, wait, what is happening right now?
But what does all that stand for? You saw someone from high school in an Apple store.
Yeah, and he brought over
it
blueberries.
It was an omen.
And your story is bullshit because who brings organic blueberries into an Apple store?
Please don't let Jermaine Jackson bring organic blueberries into the Apple store. Yeah. Like, I feel like he's become so likable by refusing to be on this show. Don't ruin it for me, okay? Walking around with blueberries.
They saw a white fox in the middle of PCH at 3 in the morning. It was a plastic bag.
It was someone's dog.
You know what? It was probably the possum that you were just talking about on Brandy's podcast.
It was Nick Nolte.
It could have been Nick Nolte. I've seen Nick Nolte. I've seen Nick Nolte in a bathrobe, and he is not unlike a possum.
Yeah,
you're talking about possum face. He's got, like, possum body. He's got possum life.
When you're driving home from Moon Shadows at 3 in the morning in Malibu, you see all kinds of shit in that fog.
Like, yeah, they just saw Mel Gibson.
Yeah, it's Mel Gibson yelling Jew things at a cop.
Like, we saw this white fox and it was so racist and so anti-Semitic, but we felt like it was still a sign. So, and then we're watching this movie and then that white fox was there again. And it was like, whoa, babe, it's crazy. It's like the apocalypse and there's the white fox.
So Shervin has been cut out from the group because he has to stay home. So now he's like,
well, I can't do everything in a goddamn rockin' sushi place, so I'm going to drive up to the Overlook and have a romantic scene with my gorgeous car, and I mean FaceTime Annalise, because I wasn't ready. Like, she's just an opportunity to keep one foot in and one foot out, but, like, she has feelings, and I've just realized, like, you know, sometimes it's about other people's feelings.
Yeah. So we then began a horrifically staged and fake scene of him being like, so Annalise, well, this is Shervin, your boyfriend. And I want to just say that, like, I've come up here on Mulholland Drive just to tell you that, like, yeah, my friends have held me accountable. And yeah, my bad. And, I did some of those things, but, anyway, your turn. And she's like, well, I can't hate you for being honest. And when you say that you can't fake it, that really hurts.
And also, I'm mad. And if I would walk away if I could, but I'm already in Australia, so I'll just stand here.
And also, anyway, if I keep walking, I'll be on FaceTime anyway, which means you'll be walking with me, which would kind of destroy the point.
Good. So I guess we're sort of like figured out that like we're basically over.
Yeah, I admitted nothing.
Notice Shervin never said I cheated on you a million times and got called out for it. He's like, my friends held me accountable, so I'm breaking up with you.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Wait a second. This is also later. He can be like, they switched in the editing and I broke up with you and then I slept with people. What's the big deal? We weren't together.
Yeah, exactly. So he's basically like, I don't think I'm ready to go to this next step. So anyway, I'm just going to drive off right now. And so they're like, all right, goodbye. And then they like hang up and then he like drives. He just basically drives off and the camera zooms in on the towers of Century City. Like, ooh, a broken heart tonight.
Now I understand my own feelings.
Well, wow. You're really ready for a relationship.
Annalisa, also, I brought you here to the scenic view of Century City. So that way you would know what true heartache is.
Annalise. Also, I love that she's like in a scene study class. She goes, I wouldn't force anyone to be with me. You need to figure out the why. Okay, Annalise.
He's like, well, actually, I did try to figure it out. And it turns out that their membership is like $35 a month, which I think is pretty reasonable. So if you're interested in doing a couples thing, even though we're breaking up, I would be into that.
Then it's like coming up after the commercials of Gigi. My vajayjay is sweating. What do people think when they're watching this show for the first time?
They think that America should be bombed.
So at the theater, the guy at the theater is like, are you ready? You are gonna be amazing! You're gonna be amazing! This is like in one of those little tap dance rental rooms you get upstairs the Broadway at the Broadway Dance Center for like $500 an hour.
Yeah.
Because of folding chairs.
Yeah, this director was a bit much. He was definitely on 10, and this production is definitely on 3. So, everyone's there, and guess what? Shalom is there.
Shocker.
And then Mike is like, I don't get it. It's not romantic. It's just stupid. I'm like, actually, I think this is more of a romantic thing than anything that you've ever done, Mike.
Mike is so, I'm not ever sure what Mike is talking about. He's like, this is stupidity mixed with bipolarism.
Which says, I mean, yes. Says the guy who shoved his girlfriend out of a plane and was like, will you marry me?
I want to be together forever. Push her out of a plane. Like, wait a minute, I'm getting mixed signals here, buddy. So Shalom goes backstage and they giggle very deeply how they love each other. And she's like, most guys would have left, but he showed up and he put a ring on it so he can get away with it. What a touching relationship.
Yeah.
Now, the best part of this is Adam sitting in the audience. Well, two things. First, Reza is like, Gigi is in a play about rolling in the hay. Oh, my God, Tommy's poetry. It's I can't let it go. He's like a brother from another mother.
I love the theater. Molière be swerving.
Chekhov, swerving Chekhov.
Ibsen, you better slow your roll. You're swerving too much.
Swerving Lloyd Webber. Do you like that I got from Ibsen to Andrew Lloyd Webber?
Long day swerving tonight.
So Adam starts reading her bio and the thing, and he's like, wait a minute. Golnessa Gigi was an accomplished gymnast and trained for placement on an Olympic team in Atlanta. What the frick?
Between that and MJ saying that she was a figure skater when she was younger, I really have to question these strange lies they're coming up with. Why are they all circled around Olympic sports?
Gigi's is the best because it says she trained for, yes, placement on an Olympic team. Like,
which meant she tumbled.
I trained for it, yeah. I trained to work at Barnes & Noble once, so I'm a fucking author.
I did some somersaults in my youth, so I guess I was training to be placed on an Olympic team, yes.
Yeah, you don't get to put that on your fucking playbill. Of course, it's not really a playbill.
Yeah.
It's like a just playing playbill.
Just playing bill.
So Rez is like, what? Your crew should know about the Olympics. Was this bitch on a space shuttle too?
Bitch be like, da 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 da, Olympics be swerving.
Oh, I want pics of this bitch in her gear. And then it shows a little tiny 6-year-old Gigi in her gear. cut to Gigi going, my vajayjay is sweating. Keep a classy show.
Yeah, exactly. So, so Reza starts saying how Gigi is refurbished. She's like, have you ever, hey, who here has been has gotten something that's refurbished? It's like it works well, like they fixed it in the factory, but you always think to yourself, bitch can't break anytime soon. That's what Gigi is like. She's like refurbished.
She's like a regular Gigi, but she's like fixed, but she could smack a hole.
It's like if someone took Carrie's drug and was like, go back to the factory and come back as Gigi. That's what she is.
Made in China. I don't know what that means, but it really is on her resume.
Gigi, I trained for the Olympics. I'm made in China. Also, I'm the president.
And I won the Nobel Peace Prize.
She's just copying random things she sees on her coffee table. She's like Arctic freeze. Wait a minute.
Diane Arbus? Wait, that's not you, Gigi.
Nail file. Wait a minute.
Gigi loves to hold little babies in lettuce cups? What?
So, the big tension in this scene is like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, will Shalom get mad when Gigi kisses a gay guy on stage who's wearing a strap-on? Look, after seeing even 2 seconds of this terrible bullshit, I wanted Shalom to get up and just beat the shit out of everybody. Lord knows they deserved it.
I think Mike had the best idea, which was just falling asleep.
That bitch has been swerving. Look how he's asleep. Like he's been on a diet of diet sodas and whores.
So Gigi's on stage and she's doing her thing. She's spinning grapes into a something or another. And then it's like, okay, now it's time for the kiss. The big kiss. What will Shalom do? What will Shalom do? Commercial break. Now we're back. What will Shalom do? And it's like, it's fine.
Shalom's all happy to learn to give a hand job. He's like, well, I hope she does that at home. Gigi, this was so good because Rez is like, well, this is a new Gigi. She is not curing cancer, but at least the bitch started something and finished it. And then that's when it cuts to her spitting out chewed up grapes.
Yeah. New Gigi spits out her grapes. Old Gigi had sour grapes. See what I did there? That's so Persian.
Refurb! So, that's basically it, right?
Yeah, they do a little toast to Gigi at the end, and, yeah. It's triumph. And now, next week...
And then Adam goes... They're all clapping, and Adam goes, our little Olympian.
Now I can say I was scratched by an Olympic cat.
Trained for. So good. So that brings us to the end of this. We'll be back tomorrow with a little Real Haswalds of Orange County.
Yes, we certainly will. And then on Wednesday, we have Dallas. Thursday, we have Jersey. And Friday, we have Below Dick.
Below Dick, eh?
And in the meantime, if you don't know what to do with yourself, you can follow us on social media, or better yet, you can buy some tickets to our San Francisco show. That'll be quite nice.
Yeah, do it. To get those tickets, just go to watchwhatcrappens.com for all our links. We're going to be going on tour to lots of places, so keep checking back at watchwhatcrappens.com.
Yeah, we'll let you know every time we book a place, but we're trying to go all over this good country of ours.
This land is your land. This land is my land. Okay?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. We're going to come.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Welcome to Bose Recommends. This is the place to discover your new favorite podcast. Every week, we listen to hundreds of shows to bring you our favorites. And this is one we think you're going to love.
Adrift.
Adrift.
Hello, we're Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port. Say hello, Annabelle.
Hello.
So what is our podcast, Adrift? We describe it as a comic tragedy for anyone flailing in a sea of their own inadequacy. And basically, that means it's for you if you feel like you're just pretending whilst everybody else knows what they're doing. Can you give us some examples?
Yes, if you've ever laid awake at night thinking, why did I say that? Even though you said it 16 years ago. If you go 10 minutes out of your way to buy coffee in the morning to avoid small talk with an overly chatty barista. Or if you ever overtip out of a desperate need to be liked.
Now, it's possible that you are a perfectly functional human being and you're listening to this and thinking, do people really live like that? If so, this podcast probably isn't for you. But just to prove that some of us are like this, here's some evidence. This is me being very needy with guest Lily Allen in episode 2.
Are you worried about how I... What, you're not worried that I think badly of you based on this interaction, are you?
Yes.
You're going to put the phone down and be like, oh God, Lily Allen thinks I'm a dick.
Yes, yes.
Don't do that. I don't care. You don't care.
But even saying you don't care is quite a dismissive thing to say. See, it's upsetting to me that you wouldn't put the phone down and think, oh, it's just great to speak to Jeff. Isn't Jeff a great person? So that's our podcast, Adrift with Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port. You can find it on Acast, iTunes, or whatever your preferred app is. And thanks to Bose for making this happen and for supporting podcasts in general. Bose, get closer.
That was this week's Bose Recommends, the place to discover your new favorite show. If you want to find out how you can enjoy podcasts and even better sound quality, visit bose.co.uk. Bose, get closer.